Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this particular episode tonight, I am still excited. Every time we go on the air, it excites me because we are studying the Word of God together. And in this particular night, we're still looking at the book of Proverbs, that old book of wisdom that God inspired Solomon to write and to put forth all that he learned from God to apply to Israel. Now, as I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, if you have and have pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Every 10 minutes or so, we'll have a commercial break, which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you'd like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. And I am so appreciative that you continue to do that for me. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add the rest to you. That's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus promises that he will give you what you need if you seek the kingdom of God first. Jesus said again, learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I will give you rest and peace unto your souls. That's taken from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Again, my precious brothers and sisters, the promise is that you will have rest and peace to your soul, not to your flesh, but to your soul, if you take on Jesus' yoke by learning about him. Jesus said again, if you love me, you will keep my words, and the Father will love you, and he and I will make our abode within you. That's taken from John chapter 14, verse 23. My brothers and sisters, the promise is the indwelling. That is what makes us complete. and free. The children are free indeed only if they have the indwelling. And the promise is that if you keep Jesus' word, this will occur. My brothers and sisters, again, the question for this hour is, are you standing on these promises? Now, let's go to the study. And before we go to the study, though, let me remind you, as I always do, because I think it is so significant to note that the Bible is written in code. We have to break that code in order to get all of what we need to apply this side of eternity to be successful in Christianity. And I want you to know that this is talking about, the Bible is written in mysteries and in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study and learning. And that's why we're on the air again tonight, so we can study and learn together. Now, let us get to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to look at verse 17. Proverbs chapter 27, and we're going to look at verse 17. Now, as I always tell you, that a lot of these instructions are identical to the scripture text. So in this particular instance, that's the case. The instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read Proverbs 27, verse 17, is iron sharpens iron. That is critical, my precious brothers and sisters, because we are supposed to not only build and root each other up in the most holy faith, but we're supposed to provoke one another to better works. And the iron sharpening iron, that is what Solomon is talking about, that the commandment is to fellowship with one another and to plant and water in the garden. Now, this is what Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Faith cometh by hearing, my precious brothers and sisters, and hearing by the word of God. So how can you hear if you don't have someone to tell you? And that's the part of iron sharpening iron that we must be aware of. Now what I want to do is I want to amplify this by giving you an example of how this was done in Deuteronomy, okay, between Moses and Joshua. Turn your Bible sources with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, and Moses went and spake these words unto all of Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me that thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. So Joshua is the one that Moses is going to indoctrinate. And this is what verse 7 says to continue the thought. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord had sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So again, he's building him up, so he'll be strong to do that. Iron sharpening in iron. 8 continues, and the Lord, he it is that does go before thee. He will be with thee, and he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Again, he's building him up. More in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the thought concludes on verse 15. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. So that tells us what happened. That was iron sharpening iron. I see we're at the first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
So it isn't sin that torments. It is the guilt, the weight, the burden, a sin of being wrong, of having wronged someone, of having mistreated someone, of having stolen from someone, lied on them, or betrayed them. It is not the sin, it is the guilt, the aftermath, the fleeting thoughts, the struggling of a tormented soul, wrestling with your behavior and struggling with your choices. The guilt of sin. If this woman was tormented, she wasn't tormented by sin itself, but the guilt of sin. Now, if sin has guilt, and we have all sinned, I think, then it's safe to assume that we have all had guilt. Guilt has torment. Guilt has pain. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's driven people to liquor bottles. It's driven people to stick needles in their arms. It's driven some people to put a gun to their head because they could not live with the guilt of sin. Not just sin. The guilt of abandoning children, the guilt of giving a child away, the guilt of abortion, the guilt of lying, cheating, the guilt of destroying a life, the guilt of infecting a person, the guilt of betraying a confidence, the guilt of breaking a heart, the guilt of destroying a life. It's not that you don't go on. You can go on because you're tough, you're strong. You're relentless. Strengthen your back, hold your head up, you're riding above it. But nobody knows the weight of guilt. Comes out in our behavior, comes out in our temper tantrums, comes out in our hostility, comes out in our pride, comes out in our arrogance. And beneath all of these trappings, down at the root, there's guilt.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with the instruction, iron sharpening iron. And we're going to look at our New Testament complement to see how it is put today to us through Jude chapter 1. Turn your sources with me to Jude chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 20 through 5, and listen how Jude puts it to the disciples. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, that is how we sharpen our iron, through the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And we must also conduct ourselves with tender loving care in order to help strengthen some others. And verse 23 says, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and our Savior, to glory, to be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. What Jude is telling us, or telling the disciples, is that God through the Holy Ghost, remember I mentioned the indwelling? We must have that indwelling to be secure in sharpening the iron that we are. Now, well, let's also look at Colossians, and we're going to see what Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 2. He's sharpening. This is how we, again, are sharpening one another. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So Jesus is the one that we are rubbing up against, iron sharpening iron. Verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Christ is the one we want to be rooted in. We want to be sharpened through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. For Christ said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll ask the Father to send you another comforter, and he will give you what you need. Verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Excuse me. And verse 10 completes the thought. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So you can see that Paul is telling us that Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost, is where we should be sharpening our iron. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we plant and water one another by preaching and teaching, by witnessing and testifying, by admonishing and edifying, and sharing the word of God. That is what I want you to understand, how we do it, my brothers and sisters, one toward another. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 27. Excuse me. We're going to take another instruction from Proverbs 27. We're going to look at verse 18 and verse 23. Verse 18 and verse 23. And as I said before, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind. And this time we're going to hear the scripture, and it's going to sound like a riddle. And remember, I told you that the Bible is written in code, and riddles are part of that code. Now listen to what Proverbs 27, verse 18 says. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Remember, the instruction is remain steadfast and be blessed. And verse 23 concludes the thought by saying, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Again, we must remain steadfast in order to be blessed. And this is what Solomon is saying in these two verses in Proverbs. Now we're going to go back to Deuteronomy, or we're going to go to Deuteronomy for amplification. I want to exemplify or amplify this in what Moses rehearsed to Israel. Listen to what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 6. And my brothers and sisters, this is how we are blessed if we remain steadfast. Listen to what he says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Be steadfast, my brothers, and receive what the blessings are identified here, verse 2, and these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. My precious brothers and sisters listening out there, this is a guarantee. This is a guarantee if you remain steadfast. Verse 3 says, you will be blessed. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Now, of course, we know that this is directed at Israel at that time in their existence, but we reflect or this refers to us today. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou come in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou go out. My brothers and sisters, that is exemplary, that if we remain steadfast in the commandments of God, these blessings will overtake us. Now let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and we're going to see how Paul puts it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to first read, we're going to read verse 1 and 2, and then verse 57 and 58. Listen to what Paul told the apostles, or Paul told the disciples. This is what he says in 15, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. The gospel of Jesus Christ is critical. We must remain in the gospel to be blessed. Listen to what he said in verse 57. He says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he concludes, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. That is your blessing, the salvation in through Jesus Christ. Now I see we're at the second break. Let's take the break, and then we'll conclude with the lesson after the break.
Dear child of God, nothing can touch you without God's permission. Everything you face, you have the grace to overcome. Let me tell you what's going on behind the scenes. God is ordering your footsteps. He's the type of God that does things like remove one opportunity from your life that was once a blessing and replace it with an even bigger opportunity. Or he'll move certain people out of your life. People who have served their purpose for that season, and he'll replace them with people who will elevate you to the next level of faith. People who will cultivate your gifts and help you walk in godliness. You see, child of God, don't try and hold on to the dead things in your life. That last opportunity had its season. Let it go. God has bigger opportunities in store. That last relationship didn't feed you anymore. Let it go. God has prepared new relationships for you.
Dear child of God, there is no need to be worried or anxious, for God is with you. God loves you just the way you are. You were created in His image, and that means you are unique in each and every way. God is behind the scenes, pulling the strings. He is ordering your steps. He is the lamp to your feet. So walk with your head held high. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk with the confidence that Psalm 23 gives us. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Walk with the confidence that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Walk in the full knowledge that you are on the winning team, and the enemy has already been defeated.
God says in His Word, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you. He is pulling the strings. Your every step is ordered. Dear child of God, you do not need the validation of others. You don't need the approval of other people. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to fear. When you feel left out, when you feel rejected, or when you're hurt, don't let what you feel make you forget what God said. He says, you are chosen. You are redeemed. You are protected. You are a child of God. And I want to tell you this. God cares. God cares about your emotions, about your pain, and about your happiness.
Dear child of God, nothing can touch you without God's permission. You do not need the validation of others. You don't need the approval of other people. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to fear. God orders your footsteps. God will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Don't ever forget that. You shall hold your peace. Dear child of God, when you feel left out, when you feel rejected, or when you're hurt, your Heavenly Father tells you that He knows the plans He has for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And I want to tell you this, God cares. God cares about your emotions, about your pain, and about your happiness.
God wants you to know He will never reject you. Dear child of God, have hope. The enemy wants to discourage you and make you feel like things will never get better, like there's no way out. But I want you to know you have a future. I want you to know that God can make all things new. He can take your problem and turn it into something good. Walk in the full knowledge that you are on the winning team and the enemy has already been defeated. Dear child of God, the battle is not yours. God will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Don't ever forget that. You shall hold your peace. God loves you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete this instruction, remain steadfast and be blessed. And this is what I want you to get from what I just gave you in the scriptures, that we keep our eyes in the mirror of the perfect law of liberty, and we will be blessed. Perfect law of liberty is B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to look at verse 19. And in this instance, we're going to, not verbatim, but again, we're going to, I want you to keep in mind this particular instruction. The instruction is the guilty conscience. And this is how Solomon put it to the Israelites. As in water, face answer to face. As in water, face answer to face. So the heart of man to man. And that is, the guilty conscience will let you know. This is what Solomon is saying. And it's not a riddle this time, but it is in a parable. As in water, face answer it to face. So the heart of man to man. And this is how it is exemplified, I think, in Psalms 19. Listen to what David rehearsed to Israel in Psalms 19. We're going to look at verse 1 through 4. And this is telling us about the guilty conscience. And this is how we know that we are guilty. It's concerning godliness, because it is written, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We are guilty. We know that there's a God that created this. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. We cannot get around the understanding that there is a supreme being that has created what is in existence, what we are experiencing this side of eternity. Verse 3 continues, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It doesn't matter if you speak in one language or another. if you live in one section of the world or another. It is telling us all the same that there is a God. Verse 4 completes this particular thought. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun. And this is where the guilty conscience comes into play. Verse 11 through 13. Listen to what David tells Israel. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Okay? Guilty conscience. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. That is what David is telling Israel, that we are at fault if we do not respond accordingly to what God has placed in front of us to show us his existence. Now, let's go to the New Testament compliment, and we're going to see how Paul put it to the Romans. All right, turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verse 20, 21, and 32. Listen to how Paul puts it to the Romans. Paul says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. There is our conscience. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There is your guilty conscience. Listen to what he said in verse 32 to conclude. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Even though we know better, we want to continue to do as we are, and we find those who are like-minded, and we embrace them, and we are both held accountable. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that only through repentance can guilt be forgiven. That is what I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that we are guilty, but through repentance, our guilt is covered. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Proverbs 27. We're going to take another instruction out of Proverbs 27, and we're going to look at verse 20 in Proverbs 27. And what I'd like, again, for you to keep in mind, this is the instruction. The flesh is insatiable. My precious brothers and sisters, not only is the flesh insatiable, but the spirit is insatiable. That's why there is a war between the flesh and the spirit. And the flesh has the spirit incarcerated. So we're going to look at what Solomon says about the flesh being insatiable in verse 20. And I see we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. We're talking about relationship principles. This is a series of several lessons, and this one I'm going to talk about is principle number 8, and that is people want success, so help them win. I think everybody wants to win, and I think most people don't win on a consistent basis. And I think because of that, their self-image goes down, their confidence goes down, and things that they could do, they don't do, and the person they could become, they don't become. Because no one wants to continually lose their way to success. You can't really do that. You've got to get some wins under your belt. You've got to get some victories. I mean, if you look at the Old Testament example of David, I mean, he's known for being the giant slayer. He killed Goliath in a battle. And everybody knows that young, non-experienced, non-military, little David beat up the big boy. Everybody knows that. But what they don't know sometimes is that he just didn't take that giant leap from being a shepherd boy to a giant killer. You see, while he was a shepherd, one day a bear came out of the woods to take the sheep, and he was good with a slingshot, and he killed the bear. And one day he killed a lion. So he had some wins under his belt before he got to, you know, Shaq Goliath. He had some wins under his belt before he got there. So when he got to Goliath, this wasn't a big step. It was the next step. You see, success is all about several wins, several steps taken. I did that pretty well, and I've accomplished this. And you kind of step your way up until the moment that you kind of get well known as a giant slayer. You it's no big deal to you. You know what's no big to you? It's a big deal to them because all they saw you do is knock out the big boy. But it's no big deal to you because you've been winning for a period of time. So help people. Help people get some little wins under the belt. It'll help their confidence. It'll make them more secure. It'll make them more bold. And someday, they'll get to be a giant slayer. Welcome. I'm glad you're with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's look at this instruction. The flesh is insatiable. And this is what Solomon said about it in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 27. Hail and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? We are at war with the flesh. And the spirit is the only thing that God is saving. The flesh is going to lose the battle. And we cannot let the flesh kill the spirit also. Now let's go to Habakkuk. We're going to go and get more of an understanding from Habakkuk. And I would like to share this with you. It is Habakkuk chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 4. Listen to what Habakkuk says. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That's because of the war of the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. But we are justified in the spirit because of Jesus Christ. Unless you don't have Jesus, then you are not justified and you are on your own and you are subjected to losing both your flesh and your spirit to damnation or condemnation. Listen to what verse 5 says. Yea, also, because he transgressed by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlarges his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all the nations, and heapeth unto him all people. This is telling us that you are not going to be satisfied in the flesh. So shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his, how long, and to him that layeth himself with thick clay? Again, if you, as Solomon says, are only doing for the flesh, the word that Solomon put it was like this, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, and vexation of the spirit, and an evil disease. What profit hath a man of all of his labor that he taketh up under the sun? And we know that Jesus to that by saying, and what would a man give for his soul? What profit would a man give? And so Habakkuk completes the thought. Well, he continues with verse 7, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnants of thy people shall spoil thee because of man's blood, and for the violence of the land and of the city and of all that dwell therein. What Habakkuk is saying, he completes it in verse 9, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. My brothers and sisters listening out there, the flesh is insatiable. Unless you are converted and healed, as Isaiah told us in his writings, and Jesus reiterated that, we will be condemned. The flesh will overtake the spirit and condemn both. Now let's go to Ecclesiastes just for a little more of an understanding of this. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 6, and this is how Solomon put it in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. This is what Solomon said. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it, is vanity, and it is an evil disease. My brothers and sisters, he concludes with verse 7, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. My precious brothers and sisters, Solomon is saying it well in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, that the flesh is insatiable, and it will only cause you condemnation. And of course, we want to look at we're going to go now to the New Testament and compare in the Greek. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and this is what Paul tells the Romans about it. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 5 through 8. This is what Paul says. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. So Paul is telling us that there is a difference between the flesh and the Spirit. And who minds the flesh will be fleshly. Who minds the Spirit will be spiritual. Listen to what he said in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So Paul again reiterates and gets more specific. Paul says if you are controlled by the flesh, end result is death. So if there is no spirituality in your life, you're going to lose your flesh to death and your spirit to death. And if you are concerned with the Spirit, and you mind the Spirit, then you're going to have life and peace, not for the flesh, but for the Spirit. Listen to what he continues to say. Paul says in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. What happened was in the garden when God told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. That meant that the flesh would die and the spirit will die. And that's what happened to us, my precious brothers and sisters. We're under condemnation because of the inheritance of Adam and Eve. Now listen, that's why there's enmity between the flesh and God, because he has condemned it or cursed it in the Garden of Eden. And listen to what verse 8 says. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's the bottom line. We cannot please God in the flesh. So it must be the Spirit that we must respond to. That is key. Now, verse 13 completes the thought, and it says, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So my brothers and sisters, that's our answer. Paul is telling us plain as day that even though the flesh is insatiable, we must war against the flesh, and the Spirit must be victorious in order for us to gain eternal life in heaven. And this is what I want you to understand, what this means to us spiritually in our lives. It means so that the knowledge of good and evil cannot please God, period. Now I see we're at the final break of the evening. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete the study for the night.
The consequences of sexual sin. Number one, notice that he lost in sexual sin the loss of mission. The loss of mission. They put his eyes out. He no longer had vision. I promise you, if you continue in sexual sin, it's a matter of time before you lose your vision. Secondly, Samson lost, this is a big one. Sexual sin will cause you to lose and come to a place that you have a loss of common sense. Hadn't y'all seen that happen? Hadn't you seen people just starting to do things and you know, why? They're not even thinking. Four times Delilah said, tell me your secret. And he told her a lie and said it was the secret. And every time he woke up, the Philistines were upon him, and he killed him. But when he really told the family secret, then suddenly the power had left. The point is this. I mean, at some point, tell me your secret, and you see she's up to no good. Shouldn't you have some common sense? The loss of common sense. But sin causes you to lose a loss of mission, a loss of common sense. Only four of these. A loss of fear. He should have been terrified. He should have been hitting the brakes, not gassing it. He's going faster and faster. That's how sin does. You know you ought to be stopping. You know you're not doing good. You know you're deteriorating physically. You know that you're going to be found out. You know things are closing in. You know it. And you, instead of putting the brakes on, you're gassing it. You've lost your fear. And lastly, the loss of God's favor. You know, sexual sin will cost you the loss of God's favor. All the success that you are having right now is God's favor on your life. You let that favor live. And the Bible said Samson woke up after he told her the secret and shook himself and said to himself, the Spirit of the Lord will come on me just like he has always. I've always had it. I've always got it. I'll always have it. And he went to fight. And when he did, in the middle of the fight, it dawned on him. He wished not the Spirit of the Lord had departed. He had lost the favor of God. It didn't happen the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. That is not God excusing your sin. It's his mercy. But there will come a time when continual sin, habitual sin in your life that the Holy Spirit has convicted you of will cost you the favor of God.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me. We're going to go to Proverbs 28 this time, We're going to look at verse 4, Proverbs 28, verse 4. And as I have said in the past, this particular instruction is almost verbatim for the reading of the scripture. So the instruction I want you to pay attention to, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. And it is almost as simple as it said. If you're obedient, then you are obeying God's word. If you are disobedient, then you are not obeying God's word, and you can be considered praising the wicked. This is what the scripture says, 28 verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. And this is so significant to note that we stand for right, and we must continue to do right in spite of what anyone else is doing. And this is what Isaiah tells Israel about this to exemplify it. I just want to go to Isaiah chapter 30. We're going to look at verse 1 and listen to Isaiah. And this is what he tells Israel. And he is chastising Israel when he says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Okay? They are forsaking the law, so they are praising the wicked. And verse 9 through 11 completes the thought that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." And this is what Isaiah is chastising Israel concerning. They are forsaking God's law, so they are praising the wicked. And now we're going to go to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter. We're going to look at the New Testament and see how the New Testament complements and agrees with what Solomon said, by forsaking the law will praise the wicked. This is what 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 15 says. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. 2 Peter says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished." This is the warning that you should not forsake the law of God and be considered wicked. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Again, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about forsaking the law of God. That is equivalent to praising the wicked. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Condemnation is the only result for forsaking God's law. Verse 13 continues, "And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." Again, you got to be careful that you're not caught up in it. That's what Peter is saying, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls as heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. And now he's bringing it on them more, that this wickedness is going to cause them condemnation. And verse 15 completes the thought, "which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. My brothers and sisters, we will be considered if we forsake the law of God. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that disobedience to God's law equates to obedience to evil. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That disobedience to God's law equates to obedience to evil. And, of course, disobedience is sin. And that is what condemns. Sin can only cause condemnation. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. It'll be the final one for this evening. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 28. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5. And this is the instruction, and it is verbatim almost for the scripture that I'm going to read. Listen to the instruction. Evil men understand not judgment. That is so significant, my precious brothers and sisters. Evil men cannot understand judgment because they are not paying attention to the laws of God. So how can you understand judgment if you do not obey the law of God? Because judgment will cause you to suffer the consequences of disobedience. And this is what this Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5 say, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. So they, how can they understand judgment? Because of their, and this is what Isaiah says about it, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. Let's go there. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And this is how Isaiah tells us, and this shows you how evil men cannot understand it. This is what Isaiah told Israel. And he said, go and tell this people. God told Isaiah to go and tell the people of Israel, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. My brothers and sisters, evil cannot see and perceive. Evil cannot hear and understand. And this is how he continues the thought. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert and be healed. My precious brothers and sisters, the only way that you can be healed is through conversion and through healing, meaning that the only way you're going to understand. That's why the Bible is written in code. And he completes the thought by saying, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants and the houses without man and the land be utterly destroyed. My brothers and sisters, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. And evil men will not understand until the end, when it is too late, when they're held at the judgment seat. Now let's go to the first, the New Testament, and we're going to look at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. And this is how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. How simple is that, my brothers and sisters? And that completes the lesson for this evening. And before, I would like to say, as I always do, the host and I would like to thank you for your participation this evening, as always, and that you be God, you be blessed. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.